Thank you, Ali, for those songs. I'm sure it took us back. Bless you, Ken. I thought about you and lifted you before the Lord as a result. Now, brothers and sisters, I've enjoyed this little word I want to share with you, and I trust that it will be a blessing to us all as we consider again the goodness of the Lord to us all at this present time. So, will you turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, and just a few verses. It starts at verse 12. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. Amen. Lord, bless your word. Bless your word. And my text this morning is, "A man carrying a jar of water will meet you," verse 13. It's Passover time. Jerusalem is full of pilgrims, Roman officials alert for unrest, as they always were at festival times. And the Jewish officials, if you read the earlier part of the chapter, they were already seeking to dispose of Jesus. So it was a tense time all round. And in the context, there's only one person that knows what lies ahead, and that's Jesus himself. And at this point, I want to just seek the Lord. Jesus, Lord Jesus, we often talk about you, but all the time while we're doing so, you're there and you're listening, and I wonder how often we get it wrong. But we're conscious of your goodness, grace, and mercy to us. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you could break bread just as we have broken bread together. And I believe, to a sense, you are eating and drinking in the kingdom, because the kingdom has come to us. Bless your lovely name. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, there's two men in the account which I've read. Neither has a name. There's the man with the jar, and there's the householder. They make a brief appearance in Scripture and not heard of again, but on this one occasion, they play a vital part in the events which are about to unfold. And I want to ask, was the householder precisely aware of his role? And was the water carrier also aware? Had Jesus made a prior arrangement unknown to the disciples, or was this a divine intervention in at least one life that was expecting the message that was brought by the two disciples? I want to deal primarily with the man with the jar of water. It was just a man, irrespective of the sex, man or woman. What follows applies to you and me. And we're in a situation where we do not know what is about to unfold. Neither did this man. But what are we doing in the meantime? You see, much is made of the man doing a woman's work. But I've come across at least one commentator who assumes he was a servant doing what he was told to do, didn't necessarily be anything untoward. However, whether that was the sign or not, we don't know. Indeed, we do not know an awful lot about what transpired on this occasion. The fact that he was carrying water, maybe the household was short of staff at a festival time. Since this is all we know of him, we are left to speculate. And I'm going to speculate this morning. And I want you to notice that he was carrying a jar of water and not a water jar. Please don't accuse me of splitting hairs, not spilling. I believe he had been to the well and he was on his way back to the house. Was he a resident? Was he a servant? Was he a family member? Did he take kindly to doing or to going to the well, or did he think it was beneath him? You know, brothers and sisters, we're often called upon to do numerous things. And one of the things that I've heard just recently, forgive me if I've been a culprit in this, but several have said in this lockdown situation, I phone a lot of people, but they don't phone me. So if I'm one of those, I haven't made many phone calls, but forgive me. It doesn't mean that you're out of sight and out of mind. One of the things I've been most concerned about is the whole congregation. And I want to, I can't see them, but there's young people in our gathering this morning. The Lord bless you. I don't know how many of, if the teenagers are there, doesn't appear as though they are because I can't see them, but it's everybody. And I'm thinking in terms of what can be done now, what role you're occupying now. The Lord bless you, each one. The Lord bless us, each one. As I say, did he take kindly to going to the well, or did he think it was beneath him? Are you being asked at all to do things which are beneath you? Or maybe you consider them to be so. Or how are you doing them? For whom are you doing them? Now note, this man was told to meet two men. Note, the disciples were told a man carrying a jar of water would meet them. He will meet you, not you will meet them. In this case, the man is not a casual passerby. He's an active participant in the sequence of events which lead up to them enjoying the Passover meal. I ask, was he to celebrate Passover in another part of the house, since Jesus has said the room was to be where he could celebrate the Passover with his disciples? We don't even know if he was a Jew. We assume him to be so. But the significant thing, he was one who could give directions. He was one who could give directions. I believe, brothers and sisters, there are people out there who are looking for a time in God. They don't know it. There are people who are wanting more than they have at the moment. There are people whose hearts have been touched. We don't know how many. We're in a position of not knowing from so many things. But if you meet them, can you give them directions? Can you lead them to the place where they have their particular Passover and come to know the Saviour themselves? Now let's turn to the householder. Here was a man of some standing. He had a house where the guest room would accommodate at least 13 people. At this time, in festival time, pilgrims would converge upon Jerusalem for the specific purpose of celebrating the Passover. And those who had accommodation of this nature would be able to rent rooms for pilgrims attending. did he forego, did he have to turn down application for accommodation because he knew there was a special occasion going to take place in his house? Was he waiting for the specific words the master or the teacher says, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Once he heard those words, the request was accepted without hesitation. Did he know? Did he know that he was about to provide accommodation for the Messiah? We never know what a day may bring forth. We don't know who we're going to meet. I don't know about you, but Enid and I have been specifically committing each day to the Lord in the knowledge that we do not know what will happen in that day, and asking that we may be prepared to meet whoever comes along. And in conclusion, I want to say this is these we call them unprecedented times. Well, it may be an overworked adjective, but it is true for us all, and it bears repetition because it has affected us all to a greater or lesser degree. These are unprecedented times. But I want to encourage you, we encourage ourselves. It's one of my favorite expressions, and many of you will have heard me say, God is on the throne. And I simply ask, how big is our God? How big is our God? I pray that prayer because I'm so conscious at times that we treat Jesus almost as another man and forget that he is the Son of God. Our God is bigger than our fears. He's bigger than our shortcomings. He's bigger than our frustrations. And I wonder, do you wonder, or do I wonder, about life after lockdown? He's bigger than that as well. Will you be disturbed if all is changed and there is no going back to what we called normal? The news this morning is that the possibility of churches being opened for prayer only is being brought forward. That's precious in itself. But we just celebrated singing. And of course, that leads us to a place of joy and worship before the throne. God loves you and me. And I want to share with just a little thing with you. He is the God of love. To me, he's not a God of love. I always use the positive. What is not the word I want? Not a God of love. He's not one amongst many who love. He is the God of love. In Ephesians 2 and 10, again, one of my favorite verses of late, we read that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God knows where you are, and he knows where I am, and he knows what it is he wants you and me to do. I simply ask, in the meantime, am I willing to be a 21st century water carrier? Am I willing to play a small, almost insignificant part in the process that ultimately leads to a celebration of a 21st century Passover where someone finds Jesus, or more particularly, is found of him? As I've already said, there are always those who do not know the way and require direction. Somebody somewhere near you, near me, is on their way is on their way to a spiritual Passover. Are you and am I the one who shows the way? We may be insignificant. We're never going to set the world on fire individually. This man, the water carrier and the house, these men, the water carrier and the house owner, have no other place than that in Scripture. But how vital it was that they fulfilled their roles. And I trust that we shall experience that blessing of the Spirit of God, which enables us to fulfill our roles. The Lord bless you all. Amen. Thank you, David.